In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. If you were here last Sunday or tuning in online, you might have heard me make a promise of sorts. I promised, or at least indicated, that I would unpack a very important quote. This quote comes from one of my daughter's friends, a 13-year-old Catholic schoolgirl, who has a high opinion of John the Baptist. I overheard her say, "John the Baptist slays." And what does that mean exactly, you might ask? Well, let's look at the definition of the word slay. In modern parlance, slay means to, quote, do something or perform exceptionally well or impressively. That's from Google Dictionary, and the example that goes with it is quite simply Beyoncé. Beyoncé slays at singing, dancing, and apparently everything else. Talking, parenting, whatever it is, she slays at it. And I tend to agree with this assessment of Beyoncé, but John the Baptist even more so. And I have three reasons for this. Three reasons why John the Baptist slays. The first one comes from the Feast of Saint Andrew, which we celebrated at Incarnation this past Tuesday. It falls on November 30th. Andrew was one of the 12 disciples. He was also the brother of Peter. But most importantly for us to note today is that Andrew originally was a disciple of John the Baptist. And John let Andrew go. In fact, John told Andrew to go. He pointed out Jesus to him, saying, "Behold, the Lamb of God," and Andrew followed him. Now, this is a pretty big deal. Could you imagine me telling you all, go to another church? I know it's not quite the same, but the effect would be, it would decimate our Sunday attendance. But losing followers is no concern for John the Baptist. John understands himself and his job to be about pointing others to Christ, plain and simple. In Christian art, John is routinely depicted with extended arm and pointing finger, and often he's pointing to Jesus on the cross. Now, mind you, John dies before Jesus. He wasn't actually a witness to the crucifixion. But that's not material in the artist's eye, because John is concerned with Jesus' true identity. He wants people to understand Jesus as our salvation through his sacrificial love. Jesus is the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world, John says. Therefore, John also says of Jesus, "He must increase, and I must decrease." He must increase, I must decrease. And on one level, I think John is saying he must decrease his public profile and elevate that of Jesus. But on a deeper level, John's talking about his heart and our hearts. Jesus takes up residence in us. And so when we let him increase his presence, our selfishness will recede. We will become more humble. And this doesn't mean we necessarily become meek and mild. John was wild and woolly and in your face. He was a man of considerable ego strength. And he used that strength to turn hearts and direct people to Jesus. He was no shrinking violet, but he knew that this was not about him. So in this way, John the Baptist becomes a guide for us. What does it mean for our lives to point to Christ? We can do it in thought, word, and deed. We can do it in the affirmation that love wins. We can do it by seeking and serving Christ and all people. John the Baptist points us to God, and we can point others to God too, remembering that it is never about us. So this brings me to the second reason that John the Baptist slays. He is true to himself. John is hunkered down in the wilderness, wearing camel's hair, eating locusts and honey, living an ascetic lifestyle, ranting and raving about sin, and simply being weird without apology. In other words, John is being authentic to who God created him to be. Now, I know that word authentic may be overly used these days, but I would venture to say that no one embodies authenticity more than John the Baptist. And notably, he is not exactly like Jesus. He does not go around eating and drinking and partying with quote-unquote sinners. His ministry looks very different. He stays put. People come to him because of his authenticity. His authenticity is where he derives his power. Draws people to him. They flock to John to be baptized. Jesus comes to John to be baptized. This past Thanksgiving, I was with my in-laws, and like many families, we go around the dinner table and say what we're thankful for. And the best quote to come out of that exercise this year was spoken by my mother-in-law. She said, "It's exciting to be me." And we all laughed in the moment, but I've been reflecting on these words. And I affirm them, because my mother-in-law is guided by God, and spiritual transformation is at the heart of that claim. It's exciting to be me. This is very similar to a quote by Irenaeus from the 2nd century, one of our church fathers, who said, "The glory of God is man fully alive." The glory of God is man fully alive. You can't slay without being yourself, true to who you are and true to God's call. Be authentic. Be the unique incarnation of God in you. It's where you derive your power. Now for the third reason that John slays. John keeps the faith. This begins with John being the ultimate truth teller. He speaks truth to powerful people without regard to what that means for his life. That's part of his appeal. He does and says what he believes is right. He is not compromised in any way by anyone. As we'll hear next Sunday, John is not one to mince words. When he preaches a baptism of repentance, he does it fiercely. You must repent, you must change, you must constantly be examining and acknowledging your sin so that God can heal you of it. There is no other way. When the religious leaders come out to see John in the wilderness, baptizing by the Jordan River, he knows that their motives aren't pure. They aren't there to repent, they're there to spy. "You brood of vipers," John says. When Herod marries his half-brother's wife, Herodias, John publicly ridicules both of them for it, for the half-brother is still alive. And we don't know what John said exactly, but clearly he worded it strongly enough to land himself in jail, speaking truth to powerful people. And while he's in jail, his faith is tested. John sends a message to Jesus. "Are you the one that was to come, or should we expect somebody else?" It seems that now John might be questioning Jesus' identity as the bringer of salvation. He's been pointing to Jesus, but perhaps now he's thinking, wait a minute, Jesus isn't saving me from this prison cell. And here's the message that Jesus sends back. "Go tell John what you hear and see. The blind receive sight, the lame walk, people are cured of leprosy, the deaf hear, the dead are raised, and the good news is preached to the poor. Blessed is the man who does not fall away on account of me. What a strange thing to say. Nobody loses their faith or falls away because of miracles. No one says, too many blind people are regaining their sight. I'm having a crisis of faith. Or if one more person who is paralyzed rises and walks, I'm out of here. So why would Jesus say to John, you will be blessed if you don't fall away on account of me? According to one biblical commentator and pastor, Brian McManus, Jesus was essentially saying this. John, I'm not coming for you. I'm not getting you out of prison. Yes, I have done all this and more for others, but your path is different from theirs, John. You will be blessed if this does not cause you to fall away. In other words, I'm leaving you there to die, but I want you to keep the faith nonetheless. And as far as we know, that's exactly what John did. John was beheaded by Herod, but I have to believe that he went to his death willingly, with his head held high and still praising God. John kept the faith all the way to the end. So this is the man we meet every Advent. A rather strange character, a biblical hero, and one who undoubtedly slays. To put it plainly, may we slay too. May we slay at being Christians by pointing others to Jesus, being true to who God created us to be, and always, always keeping the faith. Amen.